Very interesting parasha, purely and simply because it concerns twins. And only a twin can really understand what it's all about. Being the second born of twin, I understand what goes on between twins and the way that the older one wants to override the second born all of the time. Even after 79 years, my twin sister still does the same to me. But that's the way it is. She was the firstborn and still lets me know it. So let us pray, because I want to speak on this today. Abba Father, we just pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah. And I pray, Abba, that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart will be acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I just give this word to you and give you the glory for its provision in Yeshua's name. Amen. I've titled it Unplugging the Wells and Pulling the Thorns from the Vineyards, because I've tied in two different things in this one. In the it's just gone. I'll bring it back. In Bereshit, chapter 26, verse 12 to 15. Yitzhak planted crops in the land and reaped that year 100 times as much as he had sowed. Yehovah had blessed him. The man became rich, that is, Yitzhak, and prospered more and more until he became very wealthy indeed. He had flocks, cattle, and a large household, and the Pilishtim envied him. Now the Pilishtim had stopped up and filled up with dirt all the wells his father's servants had dug during the lifetime of Avraham, his father. And then I want to tie this in with Yeshayahu chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, because I believe they go hand in hand with what I want to say today. So listen to me, you pursuers of justice, you who seek Yehovah, consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were dug. Consider Avraham your father and Sarah who gave birth to you, in that I called him when he was only a person, and then blessed him and made him many. For Yehovah will comfort Zion, will comfort all her ruined places, will make her deserts like a den, her Arava like the garden of Yehovah. Joy and gladness will be there, thanksgiving and the sound of music. Pay attention to me, my people, my nation, listen to me. For Torah will go out from me. I will calm them with my justice as a light for the peoples. My righteousness is at hand. My salvation goes out. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands are putting their hope in me, trusting my arm. Yeshua said that we are intended to be as though we are carrying a well of living water within us that springs up into everlasting life. And so this is where I believe this all ties in with the wells that were dug by Yitzhak, then with what Yeshayahu spoke. And then we go to Yochanan. And in Yochanan chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, it says, "You aren't greater than our father, Yaakov, are you? He gave us this well and drank from it. So did his sons and his cattle." And Yeshua answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. On the contrary, the water I will give him become like a spring of water inside him, welling up into eternal life." In Yochanan chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, it also informs us that Yeshua speaks of the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh that we receive when we believe, as the scriptures say we need to believe, and we follow his word. In Yochanan 7, 37 to 39, it says, "Now on the last day of the festival, Hoshanah Rabbah, Yeshua stood and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drinking. Whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being.' Now, he said this about the Ruach, whom those who trusted in him were to receive later. The Ruach had not yet been given because Yeshua had not yet been glorified. Going back to Avram was considered the faith to be the father of the faithful. That we are the faithful at the moment. Avraham is our father. You might not be a physical descendant of Abraham, but if you walk in the steps of the faith that Avraham walked, and you follow Yeshua the way Yeshua walked, then you are considered a child of Avraham, who would be a blessing to the world and inherit the world. So this son of Avraham, Yitzhak, represents ourselves in that, as well as Yeshua HaMashiach, whom we know as the seed of Avraham. And as the child of Avraham, Yitzhak went forth and repeated many of Avraham's experiences, even some bad ones and doubtful ones, such as saying his wife was his sister, which we read today. But one of the many good things Yitzhak repeated was to obtain water from the same wells that Avraham dug in his day. And in order to do this, Yitzhak's men had to unplug those wells. And the Philistine, who had plugged them up after Avraham was away from the region, weren't very happy about this at all. We read today in Bereshit 26:18 that Yitzhak reopened the wells which had been dug during the time of Avraham, his father, the ones the Philistine had stopped up after Avraham died, and called them, that's Yitzhak called them by his name, by the names his father had used for them. And so these wells were originally named by Avraham. And in verses 19 to 20 it says, Yitzhak's servants dug at the Vadi and uncovered a spring of running water. The herdsmen of Gerar quarrelled with Yitzhak's herdsmen, claiming that the water is ours. So he called the well Esek, quarrel, because they quarrelled with him. So when Yitzhak went forth to dig the wells that Avraham enjoyed, the enemy, the Philistine, had not only plugged them up in the first place, but then sent to fight with Yitzhak over the well so much that Yitzhak named the well Esek, which means quarrel or strife, and then went on to dig another well. He didn't give up. In Bereshit 26:21, it says they dug another well and quarrelled over that one too, so he called it Sitnah, or enmity. Now a synonym for enmity is hatred. And so we often find ourselves in that situation today where there are two camps, not just the believer and the unbeliever, but what the world system is doing with the medical thing that they want us to take and we refuse, which causes disruption amongst family and friends and everything else. And we have to learn in some situations to hold our tongue. As I got an email from my girlfriend in Canada this morning, actually, who said she was ready to have her fourth jab. And Malachi says to me, are you going to say something? I said, no, I'm not going to ruin a friendship over that. That's her right. And I suppose you'd think that Yitzhak would do what many people think that the enemy likes to stir up, and that would be to stop digging the wells. And that is what the enemy wants us to do. The enemy is trying to have a real go at Malachi and myself physically at the moment, but we are not going to stop digging our wells or pressing into Yah and the Ruach to receive living water and complete healing at this time. There's nothing the enemy can do to us that we can't overcome, and we are going to do it. So the well of living water represents the flowing forth of the Yah's Ruach from our lives. Yeshua said that the well is the Ruach HaKodesh. He also said that wells need to flow upwards to everlasting life. The well within us is everlasting life to others. If Malachi and I didn't keep coming, regardless of what we're going through, how would we be there for you, for those online, and for others around us? We can't give up. We won't give up. We'll never give up until Yah puts us in the grave. In Yekezkel Ezekiel 47 and verse 1, it says, "When he brought me back from the entrance to the house, I saw water flowing eastward from under the threshold of the house, for the house faced east. The water flowed down from under the right side of the house, south of the altar." So there was obviously an abundance of flowing or living water from both Shlomo's temple and this vision of the temple that Ezekiel saw. Again in Yekezkel, it says in chapter 47, verse 9, "When this happens, swarms of all kinds of living creatures will be able to live in it, wherever the streams flow, so that there will be a vast number of fish. For this water is flowing there, so that wherever the river goes, everything will be restored and able to live." Things live where water touches it. The enemy knows that if this spring or this ruach within us, this living water inside of us, can flow outward from our lives to touch others, others will live because of what we can do. Hasatan knows that they will leave his kingdom of death, and that's why he comes in to try and stop us doing it. But Yitzhak had to dig wells free of the unplugging element. Our lives can be plugged up with things that the enemy uses to stop the flow of the well within us. And it is up to us to unplug our own lives. We are all made from the dust of the ground, and we must dig into this earth and unplug the wells. Hasatan plugged up the ground or soil of Adam and Eve. He put another fruit into their hands to ingest and plug them up and fill them with something other than the life of Yehovah had wanted for them from the fruit of the tree of life. And that fruit that they ate had seeds in it. Now the fruit of life and all fruit has seeds. You can only recognize fruit because it has seeds. Sometimes we eat vegetables that we call vegetables that are fruit, such as pumpkin, full of seeds, but it's actually a fruit. It's not a vegetable. Okay? Vegetables do not contain seeds, but fruit does. Seeds are planted in our lives, and they are meant to grow and bring forth more fruit. That's why Yeshua said we will know them by their fruit. In Luke chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, it says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. He sowed some fell on along the path that was stepped on, the birds flying around ate it up. Some fell on rock, and after it sprouted, it dried up from the lack of moisture. Some fell in the midst of thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Some fell into rich soil and grew and produced 100 times as much as been sown." After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." I love this parable because you see Yitzhak produced 100-fold when he planted in the area of the Philistine, and yet in this parable, the seed that we sow can produce 100 times as much as we've sown. We receive a word or a seed from someone, and it gets into our hearts. Now Yah wants that seed to grow, and he wants it also to come forth out from us. The fruit that will come from us. The fruit that people will judge us by. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 13 and 15, verse 15, it says, "Through him, therefore, let us offer Elohim a sacrifice of praise continually. For this is the natural product of the lips that acknowledge his name." Or this is the fruit of our lips that acknowledges his names. And in Mishlei Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth, with what his lips produce, he will be filled. Ha-Satan sows thorns and tares in the night of our lives. In Matthew 13:24-25, Yeshua put before them another parable. And it said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, then went away. Our lives can have thorns or weeds in them that plug our soil from allowing the seed to grow. And the thing that does that more than anything is our consciousness. Even when we are asleep, our conscious matter still keeps working. And this is why you should be careful what you say to people, especially children. Because 90% of the people that are in jail to this very day are there because they were told when they were a child, you're going to end up there one day. And then the subconscious keeps working and keeps working until it eventually happens. That's what Hasadan does with our subconscious. That's what he does with the weeds and the thorns that he puts into our minds. And we have to make sure that we don't sow those sort of things into young people. This is why I'm so thrilled with what Shana is doing today, with taking those little ones out and wanting to spend time with them so that they're not over there in the corner by themselves. It is a blessing. Yah spoke to her. And of course, when someone comes to me and says Yah speaks to me, I give them a go. And so she's having a go. We'll see how it goes. And we'll let Yah decide what she wants to do and how it pans out or what it works. But if I don't let them have a go, then I'm not allowing Yah to do what he wants to do. I'm stepping in the way of him. And I can't afford to do that. That's like me throwing thorns and weeds amongst someone's ministry or future ministry. In Luke 8 and verse 14, it says, as for what fell in the midst of thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go along, worries and wealth and life's gratifications crowd in and choke them so that their fruit never matures. And this brings us to Yeshayahu Isaiah chapter 5, where it says that Israel was a vineyard. The children of Israel are his pleasant plant. And the people are his plants, then what are the grapes? Let me tell you, they are the things that come forth from our lives. These are the words, our words and our actions. And we must manifest the truth of Yehovah and his Torah. In fact, the day Yeshua came to Jerusalem as their king, we find he said this upon his rejection that day. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5. Say to the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you riding humbly on a donkey, on a colt, the offspring of a beast of burden. And in 21:15 it says, but when the head Kohanim and Torah teachers saw the wonderful things he was doing and the children crying out in the temple, please deliver us, son of David, they were furious. So further down in verse 33 it says, now listen to another parable. There was a farmer who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress tower. Then he rented it out to tenants and left. Now what happened to the messengers that were sent to gather the fruit? Instead of fruit, they were beaten, scourged, and slain. And when Yeshua came, read in Matthew 21:38-39, but when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they grabbed him, threw him out the vineyard, and killed him. And the same event is spoken in Yochanan chapter 12, in 12-15. The next, the large crowd that came from the festival heard Yeshua was on his way to Jerusalem. They took branches and went to meet him, shouting, "Deliver us! Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yehovah, King of Israel." Finding a donkey, a colt, Yeshua mounted it, just as the Tanakh says, "Daughter of Zion, don't be afraid. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." But they rejected him. In Yochanan 12:37-41, it says, "Even though he had performed so many miracles in their presence, they still did not put their trust in him, in order that what Yeshayahu the prophet had said might be fulfilled. Yehovah, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of Yehovah been revealed?" For the reason they could not believe was, as Yeshayahu said elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they do not see with their eyes and do not understand with their hearts and do not do teshuvah, that is repentance, so that I could heal them." Yeshayahu said these things because he saw the Shekinah of Yeshua and spoke about him. Yeshua was quoting from Yeshayahu chapter 6 and verse 10 in those scriptures. And Yochanan says in 12:41 that Yeshayahu saw Yeshua's glory when he foretold those scriptures. That's an amazing thing, that Yeshua knew that Yeshayahu had seen in advance what was coming. In Yeshayahu chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, it says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Yehovah sitting high, on a high and lofty throne. The hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim stood over him, each with six wings, two for covering his face, two for covering his head, and two for flying. They were crying out to each other, 'More holy than the holiest is Yehovah Zevaot. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' The doorposts shook at the sound of their shouting. The house was filled with smoke." Now, that phrase, "the doorpost shook at the sound of their shouting," it goes on to say in Yeshayahu chapter 6, verse 5 and 7, "Then I said, 'Woe to me, I too am doomed, because I, a man of unclean lips, living among the people with unclean lips, have seen with my own eyes the King Yehovah Zevaot. One of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Here, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is gone. Your sin is atoned for.' Now, while the door's threshold shakes at the glory inside this temple, as though the glory inside wanted to get out and to be released, Yeshayahu says his lips are unclean. His body was the ruach his body was the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, but his doorpost's lips were unclean, so they had to shake. Our bodies are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, and Yeshayahu's mouth was like a temple or threshold. The doorposts of the door are like his lips. Yehovah wants glory to shine out of each and every one of us. The temple doors rock and shake at the need. Our mouths are the doorways. Our mouths are the paths in which people receive Yehovah's word. They receive his instructions of his Torah. It all comes from our mouth. But they have to be clean. There's no point in being unclean and unfit to be able to speak Yehovah's word. The seraphim crying holy took a coal from the altar and put it on Yeshayahu's lips. The altar of incense was full of coal to burn incense with. And instead of a censer full of incense to put the coals in and let the incense burn and send forth the fragrance, Yeshayahu's mouth became a censer. So it was Yeshayahu that was then sent out to speak to the sinners within the world at that time. He had been cleansed by that coal. We need to be cleansed. We need to dig up our wells. We need to uproot the thorns. We need to let out Yah's word, not just Minister Sean and myself, but all of us. Yeshayahu was told to preach until the cities and of the rejectors were destroyed. People will be destroyed should they reject the gospel, because that's what the scripture says. But someone has to tell them. Someone has to give them the chance. Minister Sean and I are not in your sphere of influence. We do not come into contact with the people that cross your path daily. But after Yitzhak fought and continued letting the wells be dug in Bereshit, it went on to say in 26:22, he went away from there and dug another well. And over that one they didn't quarrel, so he called it Rechavot, wide open space. Between all of us, we live in wide open spaces. And said, because now Yehovah has made room for us, we will be productive in the land. Just as we should be productive in our spheres of influence. Yehovah kept letting the well flow. He made room for it. Amidst all the enemies, Yehovah will drive them back and make room for us to be able to speak to those in our sphere of influence. Do not let their threats intimidate you. Keep digging your wells. Keep pressing in to Yehovah. In Bereshit 26:24, Yehovah appeared to him the same night and said, I am the Elohim of Avraham, your father. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. I will bless you and increase your descendants for the sake of my servant Avraham. We are to be without fear. I always think of fear as false evidence appearing real. Yehovah came through for Yitzhak when Yitzhak kept persisting in digging the wells. It doesn't matter what we are going through at the moment, whether it's physical or spiritual. Our trust is in Yehovah, and there should be no fear. Back in Avraham's day, there was another well dug in Bereshit 22:26. At that time, Abimelech and Pichol, the commander of his army, spoke to Avraham. And they said, Elohim is with you in everything you do. Therefore, swear to me here by Elohim that you will never deal falsely with me or my son or grandson, but according to the kindness with which I have treated you, you will treat me, and in the land which you have lived as a foreigner. Avraham said, I swear it. Now Avraham had complained to Abimelech about a well which Abimelech's servants had seized. Abimelech answered, I don't know who has done this. You didn't tell me, and I heard about it only today. Avraham rebuked the enemy. The enemy was fearful of Avraham. So he wanted to make a treaty. The enemy was fearful, and so Abimelech wanted to make a treaty with him. And a well was there which they call Be'er, which is Sheva. And Sheva has more than one meaning. It means oath or covenant, and it also means seven. In Bereshit 26 to 33, then Abimelech went with to him, that's to Yitzhak from Gerar, and his friend Achuzat and Pichol, the commander of his army. Yitzhak said to them, why have you come to me, even though you were unfriendly to me and sent me away? They answered, we saw very clearly that Yehovah has been with you. So we said, let there be an oath between us. Let's make a pact between ourselves and you, that you will not harm us, just as we have not caused you offence, but have done you nothing but good and sent you away in peace. Now you are blessed by Yehovah. And Yitzhak prepared a banquet for them, and they ate and drank. The next morning they got up early and swore to each other. Then Yitzhak sent them on their way, and they left him peacefully. That day Yitzhak's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. We found water. So he called it Shiva, oath or seven. And for this reason, the name of the city is Be'er Shiva, well of seven, well of an oath to this day. Now Yitzhak experienced the same thing as his father. If you are a child of Avraham, you need the blessings of Avraham. You need the victory over the enemies. But you will only get victory if you keep digging out those wells. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, they are taking some of the blood and smearing it on the two sides of the door frames of the entrance of the house in which they eat it. And as I said, the door frames or doorposts speak of your mouth. Blood on your lips like coal from the altar of Yeshayahu's lips. The altar and the blood go together. There has to be a sacrifice of blood on the altar for it to go up to Yehovah. They speak of death also of Yeshua HaMashiach on the stake. We have to speak it out, and we have to make it our testimony. And as the word says, and let the redeemed by Yehovah say it, in Psalm 107 verse 2 or Tehillim, let those redeemed by Yehovah say it, those he redeemed from the power of the foe. Each and every one of us who has accepted Yeshua have been redeemed. And Tehillim in verses 6 to 8 in the same chapter, in their trouble they cried out to Yehovah, and he rescued them from their distress. They led him by a direct path to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to Yehovah for his grace, for his wonders bestowed on humanity. For he has satisfied the hungry, filled the starving with that which is good. If you sit back and let the world go by and not say so, then your vineyard will cease bringing forth grapes. Instead, it will bear wild grapes. The stone wall or hedge and barrier of protection will be gone, as it says in Mishlei Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. I passed by the field of the lazy man and the vineyard of the man lacking sense. There it was, overgrown with thistles. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. I looked and I thought about it. I saw and I learned this lesson. I'll just lie here a bit, rest a little longer, just fold my hands for a little more sleep, and poverty comes marching in on you. Scarcity hits you like an invading soldier. I suppose when all is said and done, we need to keep digging wells. We need to dig into the well of living water that is within us. We have to use our lips as the doorposts, the door frames, and speak out that's coming from that well that Yehovah puts within us to those in our sphere of influence. We can't put off until tomorrow what we can do today. We should never put off till tomorrow what we can do today, because we never know what tomorrow will bring. I suppose I've learned that very clearly in the past week when I have not been able to do the normal watering I've usually done and all the things that I normally can do. I can stand and I can do vegetables and I can sit and I can do folding and I can do, but I can't move like I was moving. So you can't put off tomorrow if you can do it today, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. If you keep digging your wells and pulling out your weeds and thorns, it will never ever end up an unsurmountable job that you cannot tackle. Then, like Avraham and Yitzhak, you will be continually blessed. Does anybody have any questions? If not, we will move into the remembrance service.